This is a talk on extreme containment measures. Strong language might be used. For those who don't know me, I'm Jean-François. I'm a gnomeaholic, and I've been involved in one way or another since roughly 2005. And obviously, with my first touch points with the gnome community have been Planet Gnome and Bugzilla. I spent a lot of time filing and triaging bugs. And my character has leveled to, reached level 23 in the massively multiplayer online gnome that is Gnome Bugzilla. So in this talk, I'm going to present my analysis of the big issues that we face and propose methodology and a set of recommendations to solve these issues. I have some rather strong opinions, and of course, those are just my suggestions. So if you think that what I'm saying is completely evil, then feel free to rage against my radicalism, and the talk is probably going to be rather short, so we should have plenty of time to discuss I would like to have a big debate at the end. If I don't have some kind of reaction, I've probably failed, and then we just have to go to the beach or something, but there's no beach here. I have some assumptions that some of you might already have seen some of this stuff that I wrote a couple months ago. But really, if you want to know where my kind of philosophy comes from, some of my ways of thinking have been strongly influenced by the methodologies like getting things done or inbox zero, which is basically just getting things done but applied to email, really. So if you haven't read those things, I highly recommend them. If you're the kind of person who likes to be organized. But the sound doesn't work. So it doesn't matter anyway. So those books are interesting and everything, but if you really think about it, the core essence has always been about what's been going on in the world of manufacturing for the last 30 years or so. Lean and just-in-time manufacturing is basically a fascinating concept. And while I was doing studies in management, I started thinking about those things and how they apply to pretty much everything we do in life, from your personal to-do list to managing a candy factory to managing a software development project. So when you think about it, everything is about flow, through output and adapting to change. So you have stuff that flows in, and you have stuff that flows out, and you want this to be constant and fluid, and you want to avoid accumulating stuff, because as soon as you accumulate stuff, things will blow up, I can guarantee. And there's this interesting thing from one of the books I've mentioned previously. If the only key thing that you should retain from Elia Goldratt's book in the context of bug management is this: excess inventory is a liability. It's not an asset. And in the manufacturing world, actually, that means the stuff that you have produced. Now you think, this is wrong. The product is worth something, right? We're going to sell it, and so it's an asset. It's natural to think that way, except that you don't know the market constraints until you've sold it. You're not selling it immediately. If you were, it wouldn't be in the inventory. You would just be selling it and making a profit. And so what this means is that it's stuff that just sits around until it might be sold. And then it devalues, it wastes resources, and it clogs up the system. So in our context, that means cognitive weight. And that's a concept that I took from getting things done. And getting things gnome is freaking awesome, by the way. So it translates to wasted time searching for existing bug reports, split attention on duplicates, wasted energy looking for basically the same bugs that were kept open or because they were closed too soon. And it also feels like an incorrect indication of the quality of your software. We have a problem here. We are accumulating excess inventory, lots of it, and fast, and it's slowing us down. Of course, pretty much every project out there has this problem, and due to the fact that GNOME is such a large ecosystem, of basically an ecosystem of projects that have been going on for over 15 years, well, we don't have unlimited time and manpower, the consequences are just going exponential. So now you're thinking, well, okay, maybe he's just exaggerating. So let me show you the problem we have in a very concrete way. This is the global amount of open bug reports in GNOME since the beginning. I'm missing data between 2001 and 2005, but I'm pretty sure the amount of bugs has not drastically gone down during that period. So I just put some random guy on a bike to fill the hole. So that's 45,000 bug reports that we have open right now. And I argue that this is not sustainable. This stuff is oftentimes so old and messy that it doesn't even represent the real amount of bugs that users experience. So let me put it this way. I don't know about you, but I, as a user, if I was feeling the weight of 45,000 bugs every day, I wouldn't be using my computer at all. I would probably be crying in a corner. And so, well, who's responsible for this? Who do we point fingers to? Well, pretty much everybody, to some extent. It's really easy to let things slip and drift over time. So I'm going to show you some examples, and those are not meant to be finger pointing or anything like that. They're just meant to illustrate how different projects handle their bug inventory differently. And I think it's quite interesting, really. So, first case, Epiphany. It was fairly nicely under control, as you can see. And then the port to WebKit happened. And many things changed, including the app's branding and positioning. Because now Epiphany is this really stripped down app, way more than it was before. So that's a different positioning. You don't have the same kind of feature set you want to deal with. And, well, we can infer that the green bugs were filed by the developers right from the start, because they were status new, which means confirmed in GNOME. And we see that that green curve gradually declining in importance in the past few years, but not that much. So, well, gradually declining in absolute terms. So some of those very old bugs that they filed from the beginning, some of them have been fixed, and that's a great thing. But there's this big red line that's going on. And I think that in the case of Epiphany, we have this huge cleanup opportunity because the port of WebKit changes everything. It changes everything in the back end. So all those bugs that were reported back when Epiphany was running on Gecko, the Mozilla / Firefox / something engine, they need to be retested, or in many cases, we know that they are fixed. So you have this cleanup opportunity. And there is also the fact that the UI is so much simpler and does not want to do everything that the old UI did. That's also another cleanup opportunity. So that was the case of Epiphany. And, well, Empathy is just a generic example. It's fairly under control. That little dive at the end, that was me. Because I started cleaning up some stuff, but then life happened and I didn't continue that much. So it looks like a typical GNOME module. Evolution is a special case. Notice that they actually used the new status and that there was this amazing improvement somewhere in the past decade. And if I'm not mistaken, a big part of that is thanks to André Clapper. Is he here? Yes. Is that true? Well, thank you, André. I owe you that one. But there's still this huge amount of bug reports left to deal with. So plenty of fun ahead, André. GNOME Shell. Oh boy. I have many things to say about the way the project handle its bug reports, but I fear I might hurt some feelings, so maybe I'll keep that for discussions in the hallways or maybe at the question period at the end or something. But anyway, it's gonna just flow naturally with the techniques I'm suggesting in the rest of this talk. GTK, it needs help. It has a lot of old bugs. So as you can see, it's over 2,500. No, actually, you have to add up the lines, actually. They are cumulative. So it has a lot of old bugs that are certainly not relevant anymore. It basically needs an army of testers. And a prominent contributor once said to me, I am not subscribed to the GTK bug mails. I don't look at the bug tracker. When it comes to fixing bugs in GTK, whoever catches me first on IRC in the morning wins. We have a problem. So another case to illustrate is PTV, which is also another special beast. I'm arrogant enough to think that this is kind of how things should be, at least like this or better than this. The new bugs are more numerous than the unconfirmed bugs, and they are kind of kept under control. So the thing that I actually haven't mentioned is that all those graphs, they are not on the same scale. They are all relative to their own total. So evolution went from like 5,000 to 3,000 to a little bit less. I think it's about 1,000 now. And GTK, as you could see, was at 2,500. PTV, the scale here is 150, the upper bound. So if you add things up, it's about 200, 250 bugs. Half of that is feature requests. Damn, feature requests. And this graph is going to eventually come crashing down in the next PTV release, which it will happen any day now, as I close a bunch of those old bug reports. And shameless advertising, you might be interested in attending my PTV talk tomorrow at the end of the day for details. Rhythmbox is another, it's in a similar situation to GTK. It needs help. It has a ton of potential duplicates and ancient bug reports. I certainly don't feel like I'm encountering 1,400 bugs when I'm listening to my music library. So I don't think there are that many bugs in Rhythmbox. It just, nobody closes bugs or something. Let's talk about quality and let me shut up for a while and drink a little bit of water. What is quality? This is an open question for you folks to answer. How should we, GNOME, define how we measure quality? Anyone? Really? Oh yeah, it's all about the users, indeed. The count the incoming number of bug reports. I wonder. Any other ideas? Statistical analysis. Well, it doesn't crash. Do you know of an application that doesn't crash ever?
It worked once.
Oh, it worked once. Yeah, ship it. Ship it. Well, how do we know that we're better off as a whole compared to 2005? In any case, we can probably agree that the amount of bug reports we have in GNOME/Bugzilla is not a strong indication of the quality of our software. This is a partial quote from Joel Spolsky. At some point, you start wondering, well, if people love my software, why the hell do I have so many bug reports open and they are waiting and crushing down on my soul? In this article, Joel argues that he actually advocates for something pretty radical. He says, do not allow for more than 2 weeks in fixing time of bugs to accumulate in the bug database. So if you have more than that, you stop and you fix bugs until you feel like you're fixing stupid bugs. And then you close all the remaining bug reports. And he says, don't worry, the severe bugs will come back. Well, okay, that's a pretty radical thing to do. And that does not quite apply to our ethos as open source developers typically, especially if we're talking about volunteer work, where we don't necessarily have the team, the regularity, the manpower to fix bugs at a steady pace. So how do we do it? You're thinking maybe, well, okay, that's easy if you're only dealing with feature requests but then what do you do with long-standing bugs? Or what do we do with the duplicates? Well, we need to get serious about bug control. And by serious, I mean many things derived from the Kaizen philosophy in the manufacturing world. And Kaizen is basically is also called the 5S system: Seiri, Seiton, Seisho, Seiketsu, and Shitsuke. It's translating to sanitizing, which is get rid of stuff, organizing, cleaning, maintaining the daily cleaning list, and discipline in applicating this methodology. We have 45,000 bugs. We need to start cleaning now, and we need to keep cleaning as we go in the future. So now we can apply some other things like inbox zero. Inbox zero is basically just a mindset where you say, it's a mindset for dealing with email, but we can apply it to bug management to some extent. When you receive an email, you can either delete it, you can transfer it to somebody else, you can respond immediately, or you can mark it to be processed later because you're waiting on something else to happen in the universe. Or you do the action that the email sender requests. And we can apply that to our bug methodology. And basically, decision making boils down to three possibilities. And you could see that need info is not actually listed there, but it's really, really, really important. You have to use need info aggressively. It helps you identify obsolete bugs by simply running a search for bugs that have been in the need info state for over 2 months or something. And confirming bugs is actually important. Very few projects actually confirm the bugs. One thing I would strongly advocate for tech actually is that we replace the new status by confirmed in GNOME/Bugzilla, even though many people will probably throw rotten fruit at me for saying that, because I don't know, many people don't believe in confirming bugs. But I think it could make a difference, psychologically speaking, because indecision is paralysis. If you leave a 7-year-old bug report open because it's in unconfirmed state, because nobody has made a decision, it's not going to help you attain a lean process. So whenever possible, you want a clear yes or no. If we don't decide now, we probably never will. There's a question over there. Do we have a microphone? You can shout. either give him the microphone or I will retweet the question.
Hi, I guess possibly 5, maybe 10% of the bugs in my Bugzilla overflow folder are people where I've said they've opened a bug and said I want this feature, and I say sorry, out of scope, not a bug, and they reopen the bug, and I say still out of fit, still not going to happen. Close the bug. They open the bug, and I just put it in a kill file. How do you cope with bugs where the reporter just keeps reopening them?
I have an answer to that that comes a little bit later. Actually, that's the previous slide to some extent.
Yeah.
If it's a bug, well, okay, a bug should be fixed. But if it's a feature request, well, there are three types. Either you agree with the thing and say, absolutely, I want to do it. So, yes, confirmed and everything, if you are confident that you can actually fix it. Either you're like, no, this really doesn't fit the vision. So, no, out of scope, sorry. And there's the middle ground where it's like, well, I could like this feature, but I don't really care that much, and I don't have them at par. Is that your case?
Where it'd be a cool feature, but you can't spend time. So in the case where they suggest something, this would be cool to have, and you think, oh yeah, that'd be cool to have. And you say, patch is welcome, and then nothing happens. Do you just close it?
So what I would do is I would mark it as enhancement with, and I would tag it with the GNOME love, help wanted, and everything.
Sure, but
then it's tagged as an enhancement. It's not a bug report. And at some point, after 3 years, you can without a patch, or after, I'm saying 3 years, but maybe after 1 year or 2 years, if there is no clear indication, if it's like one guy in some faraway country where I can't chase it down, instead of 20 people saying plus one, plus one, plus one, then you could say, well, please reopen this bug report, this enhancement request when you have a patch, because I can't. But then comes in the canned replies, which I will cover a little bit later. There is Alan with a question. Or, yeah. But I know it's difficult.
Okay. To come back to the question, we do it in the following way. We add a tag called junior job. In addition to the enhancement, and we provide help to get it integrated, like which files do you have to edit, where do you have to start.
Yeah. I think the other thing to remember is that it's probably not useful to have 500, yes, we'd like this, but we're not going to work on it bugs, because it's not helpful for new contributors either. Like, it's much better to have, these are the top 20 things we want you to do if you want to contribute, and just maintain that list. And, you know, I mean, they'll still be in the database even if you close them. You can still kind of search for closed but tagged with GNOME love or something. They're not gone forever. So you can manage your list that way.
You could indeed have some kind of special search for bugs that, well, feature requests that timed out because nobody has a patch. That could be done. Any other questions? I shall continue on my glorious path. So yeah, clear yes or no whenever possible. When it's not possible, use this wonderful thing called time to figure out if there is actually real interest that can help you. I mean, part of the open source thing is that we want people to be annoyed enough to contribute to our project. So if after 3 years nobody dares to make a patch for it, maybe it's not important enough. Maybe it's not annoying enough. So yeah, you either close it, confirm it, something else. And using target milestones is actually pretty important and useful too. It allows you to know. But maybe that's just a personal thing I do with PTV. But it allows you to know which bugs were fixed for what version exactly. And it also helps a lot when you're releasing, because you just have to search for resolved bugs that were attached to a given milestone, and then you write the release notes, or you just point to the link saying, those were the bugs that were fixed during for this release. Even if this bug was 10 years old, it was finally fixed for this release, and you can see all that kind of information directly in the bug tracker. So yeah, when I was saying about yes, no, fix it immediately, or defer it, or say just no, when I say fix it immediately, I do mean fix it. And then close the bug report, unless the feature is still broken. And I mean really broken. Let me illustrate this, but I need sound for this to work. And I'm not sure I do have sound. Ah. Or is there anything that controls the sound over here? Like normally? Yeah, well, 1 watt laptop speakers. Oh, I could like put my microphone down. Yeah, that's gonna be awesome. That was it for Master Yoda. All right, ghetto blaster microphone thing. So what do I mean by this? You've got a fix for a bug that you have committed to your master branch, but you are a little bit unsatisfied with the code's quality. Then you add a fix me comment in your code and a to-do item on your personal list. But do not keep your bug report open and sitting because you'd like to commit a better implementation. By the way, do not close bugs until the fix has been merged to the main development branch. If the fix is only committed to a separate branch, well, you can mark it as assigned, another underused bug report status, and then you can mark it as assigned until it goes into master. And of course, you set the assignee email because that's pretty. So, GNOME is actually pretty infamous for daring to say no out of scope. But saying no without ending up on the front page of Slashdot is actually a very delicate art. You can't implement everything out there due to insufficient manpower or because feature X would go against the project's vision or intended user experience. And for that, a canned message helps a lot. People will respect your decision more if they know your constraints and why you have to say no. So by canned message, well, a canned message is a message that you've composed for something that's basically a FAQ for bug reports. If there is none available, you create one and you save it as a text file on your computer for reuse. That way you don't end up like being super frustrated of always having to type the same explanation to why this cannot be done or why this will not be done, and you don't end up just saying nope and ending up on news sites. For example, you could have something that goes like this. Hi, and thanks for reporting this bug. PTV's core is currently being replaced by the GStreamer editing services, which is a major, major undertaking and overhaul, and we sadly can't investigate much bugs that occur on the traditional core of PTV. We will revisit this by the next release, which will use GES, and hopefully your issue may be gone by that new release. Otherwise, we will appreciate your help in testing it out. Thanks. So that's the kind of thing I don't want to be typing on the spot ever again. So I keep it as a text file on my computer. So you should, we do have canned replies in the GNOME Bugzilla, but they don't necessarily corner the specifics of your project. So it's nice to have those custom canned replies on your computer. For example, for the need info stuff, with custom debugging instructions for your project. Searching is a really nice thing. As you can see at the bottom of the screen, I have a lot of special saved searches. So that seems a little bit silly, but it's really useful in taking away the pain of monitoring the bugs and the patterns and the stuff that, for example, I want to see all the bugs that are older than 400 days and that don't have any patch. That's useful for finding that. And notice the little edit hyperlink in the bug title, like edit, super hard to spot, actually. Not many people know it actually exists. You can use that to rename the bug report at the same time as you are committing other changes. And then you can use a good bug title slash summary. So you can make a complete sentence with exact words. And choosing the right words improves clarity. It makes the bug easier to find, prevents duplicates, makes coffee. I go a little bit further than that. I use synonyms. Like, I'm thinking, maybe someone is going to think of that word when searching. So I use multiple words that mean the same thing in that title. For example, some example of good and bad. Well, yeah, good and bad bug titles. Well, the first one is not that compelling. Well, old one was share my desktop item in the menu, blah, 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 if Vino is a registered handler in MC5. And I renamed it to only show the share my desktop menu item if Vino, blah, blah, blah. Well, the second one is more interesting. It's a bug in Nautilus, which was titled show where files come from. No, or maybe it was just what I thought at first. And then I thought, well, I need a better bug title and said, provide context, allow users to know the path slash location from where files and folders and search results come from. So that way, if someone searches for path or location or search or results or context, they are going to find that bug really easily. So some other examples. For example, the first example, people searching for words such as sound or ringtone or call will find that bug report easily. The one near the middle, if you search for Gmail, IMAP, message count, you're going to find this bug report. So yeah, keywords are really nice. I use GNOME Love all the time. I love GNOME, and I use GNOME Love all the time. It's really easy to just tag every bugs that are kind of easy, that you don't really have time or motivation to tackle, or that you could do it in 2 minutes, maybe, for a feature request. But you have more urgent things to do, and you kind of want to use them to lure people into contributing your project. So I do that. Yeah, I'm not sure about help wanted, but I think it's just for stuff that you are yourself unable to tackle. And yeah, the distinction between usability and UI review is a little bit unclear, but I think the UI review is when you want to call Alan Day to the rescue. And yeah, there's a bunch of other keywords that are less used. So, divide and conquer. Don't do it alone. If possible, do it in teamwork. Maybe with bug triage days, maybe through Google Hangouts or bug fests. I don't know if that's actually something, a word. There's also a Tim Philip Muller made a script once, sometime, to force him to revisit 10 bugs a day. I think this says 5 bugs a day, but if you read the code, it says actually it's 10 bugs a day. So you can grab this script if you need extra something in your face. And to recap, basically you want to need info everything you're unsure about. In 6 months with a special search query, you close any remaining need info that has not been clearly answered. If the GNOME Bug Squad doesn't do it for you for free. if you are a developer who knows the project's vision, well, you have to show some courage and say no, or patch, or it won't happen. If you're not a developer, or if you lack experience when you have doubts, most project developers will be very happy to have any kind of help in triaging the bugs. So you can ask for a yes/no decision on any given bug, and then that way you'll gain some experience and know what's the vision, and whatnot. So you also have to do regular cleanup sessions every few months, or when there's a major technological or ideological change going on. So that means that you have to know the big projects on your roadmap and seize the opportunities for cleanup, such as old untouched bugs, core engine changes, like PTV's switch to GES or Epiphany's switch to WebKit, and or big UI redesigns, stuff like that. You can run search queries to search and verify all the bugs that are older than 400 days, 800 days. Chances are that they are fixed already. They are obsolete, out of scope, duplicates, or just plain crack. And I mean, by crack, it's probably like requesting features from the 80s that 0.1% of users actually care about. That's it. It's nothing revolutionary. It's just, I hope that's somewhat useful. Now you can throw the questions, comments, and insults. And I'm pretty sure I must have overlooked or forgotten something. And let's have a chat.
Yeah, hi. First thing, you have very nice slides.
Thank you.
And you said you made an example that people don't even know that you can change the title in Bugzilla. But I don't think that's the only problem, not the only interface problem of Bugzilla. Do you think that all this stuff would improve if GNOME would drop Bugzilla and took something more GNOME?
The thing is that you would have to find a bug tracker that is much better than Bugzilla and is a free and open source project, actually free and open source project, and can handle huge bug loads, or the sysadmins are going to hate us. And I mean, these days, many projects, smaller projects, they just do the bug issues management on GitHub or stuff like that, but that's proprietary. I don't think it's open source at all. Some do it on... No, nobody uses SourceForger anymore. It's absolute crap. Yeah, good thing. Back a few years ago, I was actually looking for a bug tracker that would be at least equal in quality and versatility to Bugzilla, and that I could actually install without a PhD on my home server, and I didn't find anything. And actually, Bugzilla was a little bit too complex for me to install. But I didn't find anything that I like really much more than Bugzilla. Like, there's Bugzilla Launchpad, which is, it's okay, but many people hate it. And there's Google Code, which is not open source either. We don't really have... I don't know if we really have an alternative out there. If so, why not consider it? Out of time. Anyway, if anybody else has questions or rotten fruit to throw, I will be in the hallway. That's it.